Wait. Already going? Why do you start this thing so early? Hello, everybody. I mean, are we live? Well, you're muted.
Yes, we're live, but we're not supposed to go live until 12.
Well, then so, why did you have to go live?
Because I like people to get in here and listen to the music.
Yeah, but then it's just a... Hello, everybody. Welcome inside Talk of Champions. Like normal people. I'm wearing an Atlanta Braves baseball jersey today, by the way. Can you see? I come in, I sit down, I hear the Trinidad Chambliss music. I see that the stream has already been launched, that people are already commenting. I'm like, y'all starting without me? Hey, everybody, welcome in. It's Talk of Champions. Stop doing that. No one wants to listen to 10 music beforehand. You say you start at 32, you start one, you start at one. He's Brad Logan, at Brad Logan TOC, at Spirit Ben. That QR code above his head is for the Ole Miss Spirit, omspirit.com, affiliate of On3. My sweet Gracie girl says, hey, Dad, in the comments. That's my Gracie girly squirrely. Hey, Gracie girly squirrely, I love you more than life itself. She and I are home alone right now, and I'm happy to be joining you from the Riverland Roofing Studios. Riverland Roofing for all your roofing needs, 662-644-4297, riverlandroofing.com. Brad, where are you?
I am live, and I'm in the Alan Samuels Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram mobile studio today. We had a great conversation with the crew at Alan Samuels Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram. Mason and his team do a wonderful job. Greta was there slinging deals. Phones were going off. It was wild on Monday. I expect it to be even more wild today, as we appreciate all of our sponsors. Of course, our talent presenting sponsor, Alan Samuels Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram.
Yeah, I'm surprised no one has said anything about the Jason Hayward jersey. I was just wearing a t-shirt. I was like, I can't wear a t-shirt. You know, Brad's going to be coiffed with the hair and have a collared shirt and look all professional. I don't look any more professional. It's kind of a dope jersey. I don't even know if they wear these navies anymore. But the Braves are repped today on Talk of Champions. If Brad's got hats, maybe Ben can have jerseys since Brad's got spiky hair. I don't know. But a lot happening here on Talk of Champions today. Got Jake Crane of Crane & Company coming up here shortly. He's awesome. He's the absolute best. Uh-oh, we're having some trouble. Let's see. I don't know. Something's going on with the streams and stuff. We'll figure it out. That's what happens whenever I don't set it up. I blame myself. That's why I'm going to be the man in the chair for SEC Media Days. Jake Crane's coming up here shortly. Fred G. Reb says, hotty toddy, guys. Dakota King, best person to have on. Jake is absolutely awesome. And Dakota is a part of the Discord stream or the Discord group that we're building with the Ole Miss Spirit at the Ole Miss Spirit, omspirit.com, fleet of on three, that you can join and play College Football 27. We're going to do a dynasty together and all kind of you got to pick a one-star program. I'm going to be Delaware. I want to be them Blue Hens. So get in there. I think Dakota's going to be Miami of Ohio. Join the Discord. We'll include that link in the chat for those that might be interested, but it's also on the Ole Miss Spirit, omspirit.com, affiliate of On3. Go check that out. A lot of y'all have signed up. We thank you for it. That's how you can most help out me, Brad, Zach. Scan that QR code on your screen. Join us at the Ole Miss Spirit. $1 for 5 days before it switches to an annual sub, so give it a shout. We'd love to see you. Sawyer Wheatley says it gets the people going. Gracie says, hey, Dad, again. At the Jeep Adventure says, hotty toddy, guys. I don't know what John Carter's AI slop is in reference to, but take your word for it.
We don't use AI here.
We don't. Got to run to a meeting. Y'all have a good one. Thank you, Jeep Adventure. We'll look forward to seeing you back. You can get the replay of this and all of our shows wherever you get your podcast. Talk of Champions. Search it both in Apple, Spotify, on YouTube, of course. That's where you're watching us. Is Brad was going to make you listen to 10 minutes of the Trinidad song, I suppose, before we came in and started talking together. It's now time to do the show. Hey, buddy, what's up? How are you?
Well, I'm doing well after you just drove me over and then backed over and Johnny sacked me and killed me from The Sopranos. But everything's doing well. We're looking forward to hearing from Jay Crane. I've got so much to ask him. And I worked really hard on the show today and Ben just crapped all over it. So
First of all, you are loved. You are seen. We believe in you. We're thankful for you.
We're going to have a good show.
Look, let's just bring Jake in and let him, tell you how great you are. Because apparently, you know, all Ben does is run you down. Hey, Jakey, what's up, man? How you doing?
Fellas, I'm doing great. I'm just wondering when Brad's going to go check Patrick Reed's lie or whatever with where he's at. No, appreciate you guys having me, man. We're getting closer. let's get through media days. Let's get into fall camp. Let's kick this bad boy off. I love talking about it, but I'm ready to see the action on the field and excited for you guys, man. It's funny, you know, not to jump a first question or anything, but I love how people only talk about Trinidad and Lacey and not what else Ole Miss has, because there's some sneaky depth on this team. And again, I'm excited to talk about it.
Yeah, well, I'll start it off, and then Brad does what he does, the best interviewer in the business. He had a great interview with Pete Golden that you could check out on our Talk of Champions library, whatever, on YouTube. Go check that out. But I watch Crane and Co. regularly. I'm one of those that writes off y'all. He's good. It's good stuff, man, because it's just about the ball. It's less about the other crap, and I appreciate that. And one thing that I have really taken to, or what took away from one of your most recent shows, is treating that game against LSU September 19th for more than just the return of Lane Kiffin, what it can mean for both teams in terms of SEC championship contention, the swing game of it, and the quarterback matchup. I'm curious, like you've said yourself, that's one of the greatest games in college football next year. I think I ranked it number two. I don't know how Texas and Texas A&M is better, but it's your show. But that game itself, when you think about where Ole Miss can go this year, the more and more you look at it outside of the obvious, dude, I think you are right on. The swing nature of that game could be massive.
Without a doubt. I mean, I think it's one of the rare instances. And really the reason Texas A&M and Texas was one slot above it at one was really mostly where it falls on the schedule, because of when Ole Miss plays LSU, A&M plays Texas the last game of the year, and we know where all the cards will be on the table. And if one of those teams struggles and they're out of it, then it's a moot point and it's wrong. But the last two seasons, the consequentiality and the hatred of that game, I think the hatred is underrated. But the main point I wanted to make is the obvious is the hate that will happen between Ole Miss and LSU.
Yeah.
But I think that's underselling the game as a whole. It's one of the few. It's a dual threat game. There's an immense amount of hate. There's a new rivalry brewing. I mean, y'all are punching each other at baseball games. God knows what's going to happen to the football game. But the championship relevance of that game and setting the table with two teams that have tough schedules, when you look at Ole Miss and LSU, I don't want the championship relevance to be lost because of the amount of hatred that'll be there for that game. That's why it was so high up on the list. And I think, you know, and I've seen you guys kind of comment on this, I think there's a logo bias against Ole Miss that we're not seeing at Indiana anymore. And Ole Miss has been successful, maybe not at the highest clip, but at a similar rate to Indiana. And they're not getting that same amount of love or the benefit of the doubt. So that was our biggest thing. The championship relevance and the hate are at a maximum level, which makes that game an absolutely asteroid-sized impact crater of a game.
Before we let Brad take it over real quick, someone in the chat said, Jake was about as cool as Matt Moscona, who's like public enemy number one of the chat recently, during the 2022 Auburn mess, but has reframed himself over the last couple of years. Jake Crane has been awesome for as long as I've followed him, and I'm very thankful that he comes on here. But the point is that of that, which I agree with, is everybody's a fan of Jake on this show, mainly because, dude, you're speaking my language. The logo on the helmet. Our guy Brooks Austin was talking about how is Trinidad Chambliss, as I watched his film, not like unanimously considered the best returning quarterback. It's the logo.
Yeah. And you know, to that point, I always say as well, look, everybody's a fan of somebody. Yeah. Like, if you do this job, and that doesn't mean you have to carry water for them. I mean, I don't carry water for Auburn. I don't think anybody's harder on Auburn or has been than what I've been. But at the end of the day, if you're not a fan of somebody, you're a psychopath. Like, what? I've never met. Find me somebody who says, oh, I'm not a fan of a certain team, I just love the sport. That's nuts. I almost want to call the FBI when I hear stuff like that. Like, that doesn't make any sense. But
like, I'm afraid to turn my back to somebody like
that. That's what I'm saying. It's like, I really don't want you around my, you know, family if you're doing that, or really driving in general. But no, I call it how I see it. Like, if I thought Ole Miss was going to be bad or Ole Miss was going to be overrated, mm-hmm. I would come on here, and I think, you know, the work speaks for itself. I would come on here and say that. But I think Pete's in kind of a perfect situation. What do I mean by that? You know how Kirby has to, like, invent, like, controversy or criticism? He's like, they think we're going to go 7-5. And they're like, who thinks we're going to go 7-5? He's like, oh, don't worry about that. They do.
It's them.
Just they do. Don't worry. I think Pete's in that honey hole of, you've had a team that has tasted success. Mm. A good core of that team is back. You got really close to getting where you wanted to go, but you still have a chip on your shoulder that's not fabricated. Like, what else? The motivational clips that they're going to show the team are going to be plentiful of people writing them off now that Lane is gone, or, oh, it was a fluke what they did in the playoff. And I think it speaks more to who Pete is as a human being, that Trinidad came back, that Kiwan came back, that you had key pieces coming, Echols coming back, Perkins coming back. I think that speaks to their belief in him. And Ole Miss has the perfect combination of talent, depth, and doubt. And if you have those three things, there's nothing that fuels, well, an 18 to what, 27-year-old now, but a grown male more than embarrassment or people doubting them. So you don't have to recreate. You don't have to fabricate. You don't have to invigorate. The monster builds itself. You just got to let those dudes go out on the street and start ripping the villagers apart when we kick this thing off versus Louisville.
I mean, leads in perfectly to my next question. And Jake Crane does a terrific job. Part of the On3 family. He's at Jake Crane _ on X. And you can also watch all of his content on On3 Network. And also at Crane and Company. He is brother. And David Cohn do a terrific job. Jake, this is what I like to ask a lot of national people, that I get pushback a lot by saying that Ole Miss may have a better roster this year on paper, but may not have as good of a season because the schedule is more difficult. The pushback I get is, Brad, how can you tell me that Ole Miss can be better when they lose their head coach, which, by the way, most successful five-year run in program history. They lose their offensive coordinator. They lose their running back coach, their wide receiver coach, all of their offense. And now you're telling me they promote their defensive coordinator. How in the world can you tell me that they're better? But I do believe, Jake, with everything that's in place, with Joe Judge coming back, who's kind of leading this offense, obviously Trinidad, Kiwan Lacy, I think the team can actually be really good this year. But I'd love your thoughts whenever I get posed that question. I'll pose it to you.
Yeah, well, I'll answer the first one first. I do think the roster has a chance to be better. And again, rosters fluctuate. You can be better in different spots. I think the greatest thing Nick Saban did was he never lost too much at two positions that were together, that were complementary, like offensive line and quarterback, right? Or like defensive line and DB. Lose one of them and be able to replace those and keep the others. I think he's done a good job of that. As far as the point you made about having a better team that may even play better but have a worse season, that is a real thing. That is 100% a real thing because teams change yearly, schedules change yearly. I'll give you an example. Let's say you're a decent-looking guy. You don't have a six-pack or anything. You may have a little bit of a dad, Bob, but you're a decent-looking guy. You walk into a bar full of sixes and sevens, you're probably going to have a pretty good rate of them letting you get to the second pickup line, right? But if, let's say, you get a six-pack, you look a little bit better, but you walk into a room full of Victoria's Secret models, buddy, you're hitting at a much lower clip than what you were before you had the six-pack, but you may be a better version of yourself. I think that's probably the only way my brain knows how to take it outside of the sporting element and put it into another. It just depends on what's around you. And also, you've got to catch breaks on the injury front. That's why this is so hard. That's why it's so hard. You have a roster full of 100 guys. You've got 11 guys on the field at a time. You're trying to manage that while the schedule change, while you have the fluctuation of the transfer portal, and you don't exactly know what's going to happen on the injury front. That's why this thing is so hard. It is a Sudoku. It is not a jigsaw puzzle, and that's the difference.
Let me ask you briefly, because I don't want to dwell on this. I think it's really a non-issue, but the buyout stuff for Prince William Monmielen and Devin Harper. Look, I know. I'm the same way. Don't get me started. But here's my only question. What do you make of the online discourse around it? Because for me, it's mostly a pretty open and shut thing. It has nothing really to do with the rivalry or Lane or this, that, and the other. There are no protections for schools. Contracts have to be enforceable. This is different from any other kind of contract. Like if you want to say Luke Ferrelli signed a grant and aid, you know, financial grant and aid papers, where in this case they signed rev share agreements. But the discourse has gone crazy. Especially on the LSU side, where they've said they've used some language. I'm watching something right here now from AYS Sports where they're calling Keith Carter a clown and this, that, and the other. It seems like we can't talk about these things, these real issues facing college sports, without it descending into this madness. I'm curious if you think this is legitimate or just in general about recouping buyout money. I thought this was pretty open and shut.
Well, to me, I think it's a macro thing. I don't think this is a micro thing between Ole Miss and LSU, and that's really what you said at the beginning. We've screwed this. I say we. I didn't do anything wrong.
We didn't do
Y'all
nothing.
Didn't do anything wrong. Y'all did it. Y'all, who? Y'all. That's exactly
Y'all, they
right.
Did.
Yeah, they did. They did. Number one, it's a terrible lesson to teach an 18 and 19-year-old that you can sign a contract and there's no consequences for it. God forbid they go out into the real world where they're not the star wide receiver at the college and they got to go work a real job and they think that's going to work. They're in for an unbelievably rude awakening. So not having consequences on both sides of the contract, and we're not going to get that until they have collective bargaining. I don't love it. I'm not a huge fan of it, but I don't want to let perfect get in the way of better. So that's the macro view to my point. It's all screwed up. And what happens is whoever you root for, just like in politics, the hypocrisy's hilarious, but because we're nuts about our team, right? We love our team. We are willing to go to bat for our team, even if it makes us look hypocritical on the other side of it. I'm not saying that in this instance necessarily, but 70% of the fan base is going to fall on the side of whatever is best for their team. Now, as far as looking at Keith, to me, I think this is very simple. I don't see schools and the NCAA winning a lot of these court battles against the players. It seems like the players win every single one of them. But if you think you could get that money back, I see no problem with going and trying to get that money back. But if you are doing it just out of principle, you're wasting your time and you're adding more fuel to an absolute raging California wildfire right now. So to me, and I'm not a lawyer, so I don't know this. I know four things. They all start with F. Football happens to be one of them. But if you think you can get your money back, then I would do it. But if you're doing this out of screw LSU and Lane Kiffin and this, that, or the other, it's a waste of time to me. So if you can get the money back, get it back. But we got to blanket fix this thing. And I know that's preaching to the choir. And until that gets fixed, then it's going to turn into this village versus village, right? Soviet Union style fight.
And it's not even, and that's not even what it should be anyway.
No,
because,
no.
Like, honestly, this has nothing really to do with LSU, even though did Lane and LSU probably go, oh, yeah, we'll pay the buyouts, just come on. Of course they did. Like, if you really want it to be over with, just pay the buyout and be done. But the
that's what they do for coaches, Ben. That's what they do for coaches. They're like, hey, look, all right, you want to go? You got to buy out. We'll pay it. It's worth it. You know, put it on my tab.
Put it on my tab. And yet here it's all of a sudden like, oh, no, this is another Ole Miss LSU thing, and that's not it at all. Real quick, and as Brad's got more questions here. Kendrick, our resident LSU fan in the chat, he said, Ben, what's up? What's up, my man? Thank you for joining us. He was fun yesterday in the chat. And Whit Russell, a friend of my daughter Grace, he says, Mr. Ben, how's it going? Being called Mr. Ben, I turn 40 next month, Jake.
Dude.
Like, it's tough.
I'm 36, Ben. I just got a message on Facebook about my 20th high school reunion. And, I mean –
I've already been there, done that, bro.
Dude, like, it's so crazy to think about. Like, when do I start writing my memoirs? Like, when does that, what's the age of that?
Look, all I'm going to say is this. Like, all of y'all, and I'm not necessarily saying y'all here, but, like, everybody else, in my opinion, got abs. I'm thankful that God, like, I used to be mad about that. God gave me a youthful face and hair at 40, all right?
Yeah.
And that's good. But now that I'm getting the mixture, I'm starting to lose that, too. But, hey, Whit Russell, how you doing, man? But, yes, I just think that this whole buyout discussion, really, we're not targeting or fire everybody where it's supposed to be, which is where are the contractual.
This should be bipartisan, Ben. This should be bipartisan.
Yes.
If you're a fan or a coach, the only people it's not bipartisan for are the players who can get away with it. And you know the worst part is? It's smart business. Mm. If you can get away with it. What did Trump say in the debate? Yeah, I didn't pay those taxes. I found a loophole. You don't want me to pay my taxes? Don't give me a loophole. So I it's hard for me to fault guys for making smart business decisions because I think once this gets fixed, God knows when that's going to happen, you're not going to be able to do that anymore. So I guess, you know, one way to look, you might as well get in while the getting's good.
Jake, is it fair to say, in your opinion, that Ole Miss may not get their money, but by going public like Keith did with Sam Hutchins of the Clarion Ledger and it broke, is it your opinion that Ole Miss can win in the court of public opinion? Does that matter in this case?
Man, I think it's just beauty's in the eye of the beholder on this one, man. You know, like if I mean, how many Michigan fans are going to be like, tonight we're rooting for Ole Miss to win this case? Like, I just feel like it's going to turn into who's suing who from what team, right? That's what it's going to turn into. I just think, honestly, and I'd love to hear what people in the chat say. I think they'd agree. We're just tired of this. Mm-hmm. We're just tired of this. How does a sport that is this popular, that is a $1 billion industry, screw this up so badly? So badly by letting all these things out of the box at once. I think we're just tired of it. And you know, that to me is what has brought most people together. We're just tired of it, man. Just fix it. Will you just get the damn apartments built? Like, just finish them. Like, I don't care if it's
finish
raining
the basement
or whatever. Just finish
out, please. Like, the basement has been unfinished for here's the whole, just as like collectively bargain, because like Brandon Ayuk getting playing football because he signed a contract. And San Francisco says, we were trying to hold you to the contract. He goes, no, I want to be a Commander. Well, guess what? In the real world, that doesn't work out that way.
Yeah.
And you can say, well, let him go. But play, like, I'm the most pro-player person there is. What I'm also saying is, like, the schools can't get nothing. They got to have some type of protections. This should be, like Jake said, bipartisan. That's well said. But more than that, like, I don't blame Lane. And I've said this. I don't blame Lane for going, oh, don't pay it. Who cares? See if anybody forces you to. I agree with him. Like, that whole make somebody tell you no. And to this point, nobody's told him or anybody in college football no, and that's our problem. And it's not, it has nothing to do with LSU. It has everything to do with, this culture's screwed, and, man, no one, them guys, they ain't fixing it.
No. And, hey, you're going to send it to the politicians? like they're going to get anything done? Yeah. Like, it's amazing to me. Hey, let's give it to them. Let's let them figure. That's great. Let's give an arsonist a blowtorch and just let him run around downtown. Let's see how that works.
Yeah.
It's nuts to me.
Jake, I have another question that a lot of people are talking about, and I do believe that eventually we're going to be very far down this road. Kirby Smart, head coach of Georgia, has already intimated that there could be a super conference sooner rather than later. If that happens in a perfect world, what does it look like? And in your opinion, how far are we away from that?
Well, you know, I think we're kind of living in a little bit of that world now, save Miami and Notre Dame. And, you know, you can make a case for Texas Tech. I know the quarterback position's pretty interesting there. I do think we are heading that way, not only because of how toothless the NCAA is. Now, they're really just a middleman. Like, they're just taking money. We could just get it from the source. I don't know why. We could go farm to table real quick. To me, I think the most fascinating part of it, and I would say I think within the next, God, when did the meteorites end? 2031? Somewhere around there. I think it's going to have to be something where the meteorites is probably going to be the toughest part of it. You're going to have some sort of blend like we have now in the Big Ten and SEC with Fox and ESPN. Those are going to be the two honchos that are going against each other. But the most fascinating part of it to me is if we do go to a super league, I think there are a group of five teams, group of six, whatever you want to call them, a couple that should be in that super league, and there's some power four teams that should not be in that super league. I would want Memphis over Wake Forest if it was me. I can go down the list of teams that I don't think should qualify for a super league and some ones that are smaller. We've already seen UCF hop up in the Big 12, Houston hop up in the Big 12. I can go down the list. That to me is, where's the cutoff line? How many teams is it? Where's the cutoff line? Because we know the financial incentive is going to be a huge part of it as well. Memphis has FedEx. They could get right in there and be fine. I think we're probably 5 years away from it. And to be honest with you, I don't think it would be a terrible thing. Again, you know, Boston College isn't winning this thing. Like, there's some teams that are just not going to win it that are in the Power Four, and there's some teams, you know, that have been quote-unquote relegated that could be promoted and come up and make some noise. So I'm actually a fan of it. I think it just has more to do with the media rights. I think actually pushing the NCAA out of the way is going to be a lot easier than what people thought. So I'm actually a fan of it.
All right, let's shift our gears a little bit to Ole Miss. We talked a little bit in pre-production. Obviously, the returners on offense, some big pieces back on defense. The schedule is much more difficult, Jake, as I know you know. And by the way, we are here with Jay Crane. Jay does a terrific job with Crane and Company, along with a number of others on the On3 Network. Jake's also about to be a father again. So, Jake, we wish you all the best in the upcoming days and weeks. And real quick, back in Birmingham 10 years ago, Jake and I were standing there with an iPhone and with a huge recorder to record audio. And look where we are 10 years later. It's been quite a run. But, yeah, we watch as we see the highlights from the Sugar Bowl here. As you watch along with us on YouTube, you can go back and watch this after we finish. This is also available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and of course iHeart. Yeah, iHeart Podcast is available as well. And just your thoughts heading into the season for this Ole Miss, specifically on offense and Trinidad and Kewon Lacy.
Well, look, we know about Trinidad and Kewon, right? Like, it's almost more fun for me to talk about everybody else because we already know who these two guys are. It's the best duo in the backfield in the country. And I think that's easy to say, in my opinion. I don't think that's controversial or whatever. Some people try and, you know, look through the kaleidoscope and pick out a different color. I'm more of a, hey, these guys are the best. It's blatantly obvious.
Can we just do this, though? Real quick.
Oh, yeah.
Jake Crane, because most people want to say, well, wait a second. Well, you know, I don't, come on. I mean, it's not arguing.
No, it's blatantly obvious. Like, just watch football. That's why we had him our number one player. We're going to get Todd McShay on here, you know, shortly. I think he's going to have Trinidad pretty high as well when we do our top 10 players in college football. But here's what I think. I really like y'all's offensive line. I like what y'all brought in through the portal. I like the kid y'all brought in from Miami. Obviously, the kid from LSU is really talented physically. He does things at that size that guys just really don't do. Very few of them do. But I like the returning experience as well. And having a new offensive coordinator, and what I would love to see, because I don't know this. I know Weiss Jr. is gone. But I wonder if Pete sat him down and was like, I want to keep a lot of the verbiage the same. Sometimes when something is working and that new offensive coordinator comes in, and he's coming in from East Carolina, it ain't like this guy's coming in from the Patriots, right, where he's going to come in and say, we're going to do this and we're going to do that, this, that, and the other. Sometimes the offensive coordinator has to become a little bit of what was already there that worked, that the guys know. Because an offensive coordinator, a coach, has a lot more time to be able to sit there and learn the verbiage than telling the team and the quarterback and the running back and the offensive line, well, this is what we're going to call the check now. This is what we're going to call this combination when we get in doubles. Are we getting trips open? Are we getting tray open? Are we getting deuce wide or whatever? So I'd love to know that. I would assume there's probably going to be a mix. But I like the offensive line. The wide receiver room is really underrated. And I know you guys know this. We know Deuce. We know what he is. We know what Caleb is. We know what Cunningham is. This Jonte Cook cat, if he can just keep his dad away from opening his mouth, if he can just keep the off-the-field stuff, let me play football, let me work, this Jonte Cook kid can cook. Like, he can cook. Like, top chef. Like Gordon Ramsay's fist bumping you after you put the dish on the table. He is that talented. You go from Texas to Syracuse here. The Gill kid that's coming with him, I think, is underrated, the speedster that they have. So giving Trinidad multiple body types, multiple options, being able to get in different formations, whether you get into 11 personnel, whether you get into 10 and go empty, whether you get into 11 personnel and you brush out to empty and let Odom be a flex Y, things like that. Every option is on the table. It's a Cheesecake Factory menu. You want Philly cheesesteak egg rolls? You can get it, brother. You want some pizza? You can get it. Hell, you want something that we don't even know what it's called. It's got a French name. You can probably get it. So
it looks good, though. You know, it looks good.
It looks good. I'll try it, right? I love the Cheesecake Factory. But I really, really like the pieces that come with the core. I thought they were very, very surgical in the portal with what they did. Because I'm a firm believer, and I've said this since the transfer portal started, you don't build the boat out of the transfer portal. You plug holes in the boat with the transfer portal. And that's what I think Ole Miss has done. That's why I think it's not going to take them a while to get going. They're not going to have to kind of reinvent themselves in the first couple games. Because I'll tell you, you don't have time with Louisville. Everybody keeps talking about this LSU game and these games in the SEC. You overlook Louisville at your own risk because Brohm can do it, and they have elevated themselves on the line of scrimmage, just like Ole Miss has. How did Ole Miss elevate? How did Utah elevate? How did Louisville elevate? How did SMU elevate? You get better up front. Because there ain't as many of those cats running around as you have wide receivers and DBs and running backs. So I'm excited to see it. I think there's going to be a combo of kind of what Baker has, what he knows and what he calls it, and what they already have and what they already call it. That's going to be the fun part. And to put a bow on it, not to be too long-winded, probably one of the most underrated parts that I haven't heard anybody else talk about, maybe y'all have, is when you have a new OC that's coming from a different conference, yeah, other teams have film on him. They could see what he likes. What are the percentages when they get in this formation, on this hash, on this down and distance? But they haven't called the game against him. The sequencing you do on the fly, you could have a little bit of element of surprise throughout this first year.
I wanted to touch on a question from the chat. This is Talk of Champions. I'm Ben Garrett at Spirit Ben on Twitter. He's Brad Logan at Brad Logan TOC. On your screen, you'll see a QR code for the Ole Miss Spirit, omspirit.com, an affiliate of On3. Sign up today for the low, low price of $1. A lot of you have been responding and signing up. We want all of y'all with us at the Ole Miss Spirit. We are biased, of course, but we think it's the best Ole Miss coverage out there. We'd love to have you come join us at the Ole Miss Spirit. He's Jake Crane. He co-hosts, lead hosts, Crane and Company. Is a national On3 show that you can see pretty much every day. We do a lot of writing off of it for the Ole Miss Spirits. You can find it there as well. But at JVlogs8963 wanted to know if Jake, have you seen Todd McShay's comments on Sam Levitt? And I'll just add a little bit to that. What do you think of him not going to SEC Media Days?
I actually have not seen Todd's comments on Sam. I'd be interested to know what he thinks. I know Todd can kind of go both ways. Sometimes I agree with him. Sometimes I disagree. I'll tell you why I think he didn't go to SEC Media Days. Y'all know that, Brad. You know this, Ben. You know how much walking the players do at SEC Media Days?
Mm-hmm. He don't need to be riding around on that.
No, I don't need you to win the press conference. I need you to win the game. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't need you. Like, I think sometimes we overlook this stuff, we overrate this stuff of who's coming and who's not coming. To me, if I'm a coach, I'm just going to bring guys that aren't going to say stupid stuff. Like, I do not care about being the coolest guy at SEC Media Days or saying the most controversial. Can we get on the plane? We'll dress nice. We'll fly there. We'll answer the questions and we'll fly back. Like, I'm not trying to win the media. I'm trying to win the game, because guess what? You win the game, you win the media. That's how it works. Nick Saban treated the media like beat dogs for 10 years. But you want to know why they didn't grill him? Because the man won. Just shut up and win. So, I like Levitt. I think Levitt's nasty. I think Levitt's got a lot of backyard in him, which works in college. Don't know how well that's going to work at the next level. You want to know who he kind of reminds me of a little bit? And Ole Miss fans might not like this. I think he's a little bit of a faster Jackson Dart. Jackson's a little more of a natural passer than I think he is. Sam likes to throw the fastball about 70% of the time. Jackson's got four pitches that work. But as far as running, that white boy's got motion now. Yeah, that's why that foot's so important. He starts running. See, Auburn got the wrong guy for Michigan State. Got the wrong guy. But that's a story for another day.
Jake, I want to kind of revisit something we talked about a little bit ago. I had a conversation with a multi-state champion high school coach in Mississippi, and we were talking about Ole Miss. And I said, you know, coach, that schedule's pretty tough. He says, Brad, I don't mean to be disrespectful, but if you're going to make the college football playoff and you're going to play for a national championship, then you better lace them up and you better get ready every single week. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the schedule's tougher, but to be the man, you got to beat the man. And I hate to quote Ric Flair on this podcast, but Here we are. And you look at the schedule, and who really jumps out at you? I mean, obviously, we've talked about LSU. We know Georgia's coming to town.
Louisville.
Louisville, obviously, at a neutral site. But you're on the road at Oklahoma. You're on the road against Florida. Auburn, I think, is going to be much better under Alex Golish. Mm-hmm. Vanderbilt, I mean – Texas on the road, Oklahoma again. It's going to be a tough, tough road for Ole Miss, home and away. What games kind of jump out to you from a scheduling standpoint?
Well, to your point, it's the ones that aren't obvious and they're on the road. These are the ones that as a coach, and again, I did it for 10 years, six at the Division I level, the ones that scared me weren't the ones, the big ones. Because you're still dealing with human beings. And to quote Nick Saban again, I hate to keep doing it, but the man was the greatest to ever do it. He's like, you can really only get your team up, like up to play four, maybe five times a year. Like regardless of what you do, how you prepare, what you say, because you're dealing with human beings and you're dealing with a season. It's a marathon, not a sprint. So obviously LSU, duh. Louisville, it's the first game of the year. If you can't get excited for the first game of the year, get the hell out of my, get off campus. I'll have your mom and daddy come get your suitcase and stuff in front of the football building as soon as they want to. So to me, it's the at Florida. It's the at Vandy. And look, Oklahoma, by that point, I think Oklahoma's got a chance to be really, really good. It's those. It's not the at Texas, duh. Right, it's Texas, Georgia at home, duh. It's those ones where you just played LSU on ABC, night game at home. You know, you're going to give a 1,000%. to that one. That's going to be an emotional drain. Can you get up that next week and prepare the same way to go play, I'm telling you, a better Florida team than what a lot of people think in the Swamp, in a big test for them, and then you get your bye week. So it's those games. Those are always the ones, I think, as a coach, that worry you and keep you up at night.
One final question for Jake Crane. Jake, thanks very much for joining us. You can follow him on X at @JakeCrane_. He's a part of the Crane and Company podcast/show on the National On 3 feed. Jake, before we get you out of here, Pete Golding, we talked to him here on the show down at the coaching convention. And to be able to come in a situation after the Egg Bowl, take the team to the playoffs, go 2-1, falling that last game in the Fiesta Bowl to Miami. How would you grade Pete Golding's job last year? And what are your overall thoughts as Pete Golding as a head coach leading into his first year at the helm at Ole Miss?
I mean, I don't know how you can't give him an A+ for, again, not only what happened on the field, but keeping that team together off the field. I mean, your captain, you're at sea and your captain jumps in the water and swims to another boat right when you're getting close to the waterfall. It's tough to keep the shipmates in line. And Pete not only did that, they excelled. Mm-hmm. I mean, dude, you beat Kirby Smart in the playoff. Mm-hmm. I mean, that alone gets you an A+. So I think he's done well this offseason. Just like being a quarterback that comes in late in the year for a couple games, it's different when you're the guy the whole offseason. We're going to have to see that with Pete. But I think he can do it. So, I mean, I don't know how you would look at that run getting that close against that Miami team, which you were deficient compared to them at the line of scrimmage. Trinidad and them were just so good it kept you in it. I think you got to give them an A+. And can I say something quickly? I see in the comment, John Carter says every team can't be better. No, every team won't be better, but I can go ahead and tell you, brother, LSU's going to be pretty good. Georgia's going to be pretty good. Texas is going to be pretty good. It's going to be hard for Florida to be much worse than what they were with what they had last year, and you're going on the road to play that game. You're going on the road to play Auburn. You're going on the road to play Vandy. There's a reason those sports books add a 2.5 space to the team that's at home because it's harder to play there. So it's not that everybody's going to be better. It's just we know the teams that are going to be pretty much elite, but I think some of the other teams couldn't get much worse, and you're playing them on the road. So that's kind of the way the cookie crumbles to me. But look, somebody's going to be bad. Somebody's going to be better than what we thought. That's the way this works out. But all you can do is project.
He's Jake Crane of Crane & Company on 3 National Show. Check it out, man. He's the absolute best. Thank you for joining us, man. We'll get you back on. You're the absolute best, dude. Keep rocking and rolling.
No, man, y'all are killing it over there. Y'all do an unbelievable job on that side. I hope Ole Miss fans realize what they have in you guys. And, yeah, Brad, just watch Patrick Reed getting sand on his backswing out there. You know he's going to do it.
Right behind me.
Yeah, make sure he's caddying for him out there. You know, make sure to get out like the 6-iron if you need to. You know, like
that's exactly right. We're gonna have to measure, but appreciate you guys and yeah, let's do it again soon.
He's Jake.
Always a pleasure. Thanks, Jake.
He's absolutely awesome, the best. Jake Crane joining us here on Talking Champions. I'm Ben Garrett. He's Brad Logan. Our thanks to him. Our thanks to all of you for joining us here on Talking Champions today. Let's hear from some of our sponsors, and we'll be right back to close this thing out. This is Talk of Champions. Well, I can't unmute it, and it's muted. So I tried to make the commercials go. See, this is what happens. You got it now? Look at you.
But a tailored approach to your unique structural needs and budget. What Riverland Roofing can do for you and the community. Call them at 662-644-4297 or visit riverlandroofing.com.
One thing I've learned over the years doing this job is that you never really know what somebody else is carrying. We spend a lot of time talking football, recruiting, and Ole Miss. But life's a lot bigger than sports. Everybody goes through seasons where they need somebody to talk to. That's one reason I found BetterHelp's latest State of Stigma report interesting. BetterHelp's 2026 State of Stigma report surveyed 2,000 Americans and revealed that 85% of Americans believe getting support is wise. Yet 74% say society discourages people from doing so. It's kind of a reminder that even though we've gotten better about talking about mental health, asking for help can still be difficult. If somebody in your life is struggling, don't be afraid to encourage them to talk to someone. Sometimes having that conversation is the hardest step. Don't let stigma stand in the way of support. Start therapy with BetterHelp. Sign up and get 10% off at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp, BetterHelp.com. One thing I've realized covering Ole Miss is I'm almost always on the move. Whether it's football camps, SEC media days coming up, baseball or basketball, I'm living out of my truck half the summer. That's one reason I've become such a fan of Quince. I've been wearing their linen shirts a lot lately because they're lightweight, breathable, and comfortable enough to wear all day, whether I'm outside covering recruiting or sitting down to record Talk of Champions. They just work. I also like that Quince cuts out the middlemen, so you're getting really high-quality clothing without paying luxury brand prices. Make your summer wardrobe easier. Go to quince.com/TOC for Talk of Champions. Quince.com/TOC for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Now available in Canada, too. That's Quince, Quince.com/TOC for free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/TOC. Anybody who's ever tried to book a hotel room in Oxford, Mississippi for an SEC weekend knows how quickly travel costs can add up. And honestly, the same thing applies for family vacations, beach trips, music festivals, or even getting away for a few days. That's why Outdoorsy is such a cool option. Outdoorsy is the most trusted RV rental marketplace in the country. And they make it incredibly easy to rent an RV or camper without actually owning one. There are thousands of options nationwide, many of them right in your own neighborhood, and you've got choices. You can drive it yourself, tow it, or my favorite option, have it delivered and fully set up at your destination. Plus, there's built-in peace of mind with comprehensive insurance, 24/7 customer support, and roadside assistance included. And especially for families or larger groups, it can often be more affordable than booking multiple hotel rooms. Whether you're planning the ultimate Ole Miss tailgate, a family vacation, or just looking to turn the drive into part of the adventure, Outdoorsy is worth checking out. Talk of Champions listeners can get all service fees removed from their booking in 2026 with code TOC at Outdoorsy.com. That's Outdoorsy, OUTDOORSY.com. And use my promo code TOC for Talk of Champions at checkout to remove service fees. That's Outdoorsy, a proud sponsor of Talk of Champions.
Rebels, your truck is here. Alan Samuels Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Oxford presents the all-new Ram Rebel. It's Ram, the Rebel way. Send an unmistakable signal. Rebel, 24/7. Ram Rebel, from your friend in the car business. Alan Samuels Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Oxford.
Come by, let's be friends. I'm Lawyer Philip Hearn. Raising my family here in Mississippi, I've tried to teach my kids to help others. I learned that from my parents. And as a Mississippi lawyer, I want to help you too. If you're hurt in a traffic accident, 18-wheeler wreck, or have insurance trouble, call 601-720-3541. That's my cell. You call, I'll answer. Let's get started. Make your first call to the Hearn Law Firm today.
Fiber and wireless together at last. The One Plan. Fiber and wireless for $99 a month with a 5-year price guarantee and a free 5G phone for everyone. Fiber and wireless for $99 a month with a 5-year price guarantee. C-Spire. Customer inspired.
Our thanks to C Spire, our thanks to Shed Hunger of Modern Woodman for all of your life insurance needs. Hit up our guy Shed Hunger of Modern Woodman, 662-442-4723. That's 662-442-4723. He can help you plan for life using a variety of tools, including life insurance, annuities, mutual funds, and variable annuities. That number again for Shed Hunger of Modern Woodman of America, 662-442-4723. Our thanks to all of you who've joined us in the chat. Our thanks to Jake Crane of Crane & Co. for joining us and really breaking down a lot of the hot-button topics, not only around Ole Miss, but college football And one thing I thought he said was pretty salient in regards to the buyout stuff. Like, this should be bipartisan. This should be a bipartisan thing. This has nothing to do with Ole Miss, LSU per se, though the parties involved are Ole Miss, LSU. But LSU's really not a party to this. It's about contract enforcement and rules. And I really appreciate Jake coming on. Brad, I don't know if you saw this news today when you need to unmute your mic so you can respond to me. But I'm seeing this come across the Twitter feed, and the NCAA Rules Subcommittee has approved ABS challenge system for college baseball next year. The NCAA Rules Subcommittee approved the use of the automated ball strike challenge system in college baseball games where the technology, including TrackMan, is available. The approval still requires final sign-off from the Baseball Oversight Committee and is expected to be implemented in 2027. The system was previously tested experimentally in the SEC tournament with a 56.2% successful challenge rate, and I would probably assume that like 52% of that was the Missouri catcher against Ole Miss.
And it was a lot, yeah.
He absolutely destroyed Ole Miss. But I think this is a good thing for college baseball. I wish that there was a uniform strike zone to where we don't get these outrageous challenges, or like we don't get balls that should be called, or strikes that should be called balls, vice versa. But what do you think about ABS coming? Because, listen, man, I love the human element of baseball, but not when it comes to balls and strikes. I think this is progress, and I'm not going to shake progress, even though there's some things I'd like to see done differently about it. But we saw in the SEC tournament what could it look like now that it's coming to baseball potentially on a full-time basis. What do you think about that?
Yeah, Jacob Rudner of Baseball America, who you probably heard a couple times on Rebel Hotline, which you can hear that on the Ole Miss Spirit. That's OMSpirit.com and the Field at On Three. Hit that QR code. Join today. We had a couple of people on the board, I think, yesterday, Ben, talking about how much they're excited about joining the community. So yep. We welcome you there. I think we're literally 10 years removed from not a robot, but a device in the home plate umpire's ear that tells him if it's a strike or not, and then he makes the call. And honestly, I wish that's kind of what it was. I mean, let's just bypass. If we're going to do this, I'm with you, Ben. I like the human element. I like 4 inches off the side of the plate. I don't mind it. I mean, college used to be extend the plate, man. Let's don't sit up there and watch a bunch of walks. My thing is if we're going to do
one of the most valuable things a hitter can do, get on base.
I get it. And then we'll talk about that maybe later. But what I like about the ABS system, if we're going to do that, let's just completely bypass that ABS system and go straight to an automated ball and strike. So the home plate umpire gets a beep in his right ear if it's a strike, a beep in his left ear if it's a ball. And let's just do it. If we're going to do it. Because now what we're going to do, we're going to pull the whole Missouri catcher situation. Oh, that's a strike.
It has to teach you discipline and the strike and all of those things.
I'm sure there's plenty of left and rights in regards to this. But I guess it's another move into a positive direction. I liked it in the SEC tournament. I felt like it bogged down the game just a little bit. But, you know, that's kind of where it is. I'm not surprised at all that this passed.
No, I'm not surprised either. And I hope that Ole Miss gets better at it than it was in the SEC tournament. And again, the Missouri catcher, man, I don't want to see that dude in the era of ABS ever again, because that man was on an absolute heater as Missouri upset Ole Miss as the number 15 seed in the SEC tournament. Didn't mean anything because Ole Miss, it did cost them a regional host. They were already had cost themselves a regional host, but they ended up sweeping regional and super regionals, making it to Omaha, getting swept in two games. The first team eliminated, but got back to Omaha in the College World Series for the first time since 2022. A lot of people have asked us about roster things that could be coming down the pike. One, Tristan Bassetta signed with the St. Louis Cardinals, an undrafted free agent. I've been asking about Judd Utomark and Will Furness. Don't have an update on Judd, but Will has not gotten an opportunity yet. He told me straight up that he's if he doesn't go pro and get that opportunity, he's going to go into wealth management, and he'll be our baseball expert on Talk of Champions. So
Will can
come on anytime he wants to. I hope he gets that professional opportunity. Few were better for Ole Miss and had one of the most seminal moments of the season last year. Did Will Furness in his postseason exploits? So hope to see him get that. But as far as other MLB draft possibilities, Austin Folley's going to sign. We said this yesterday. I still expect JP Robertson to sign if he hasn't signed already. As we've been recording, really, I don't expect Ole Miss to get much of anything back from the draft. What we're watching most right now for baseball is that Caleb Koski visit. If he pops soon, he was on campus on Monday. It's Wednesday now. I would assume if he's going to make a decision for Ole Miss, it'll come within the next couple of days. They seem like they're a bad off, but we'll see. At Hits or H H. Tisdale, 32. Any update on David Gabriel George? He commits on July 22nd. We expect it to be one of Ohio State or Tennessee. Maybe Ole Miss pulls the shocker. I would be shocked to see it. But if they do pull the shocker, that wraps up in terms of the heavy, heavy lifting. They don't have really any other needs other than a running back, and even running back's a luxury for them in high school this year. If he lands, if they shock the world and land him, then, man, from that point on, you're just talking about flip candidates. Caden Moss, Benny Easter, guys like that. Even still, if they don't get him, you're still looking at more flip candidates than anything right now. Those same candidates, Benny Easter, Caden Moss. But one guy that would become more at the forefront would be Trey Martin, a four-star that Ole Miss had some momentum for back in June, and then he ended up committing to LSU. I think there's a little bit of progress being made there. But, again, remember, regardless of what happens in the high school class, whether they get somebody or not, whatever, that is a luxury position for Ole Miss in high school this year. So that's the update on DGG. What are you most looking out for in Ole Miss sports this week, Brad, before SEC Media Day kicks up in earnest next week?
Yeah, I want to revisit something Jake said and kind of ask you, because we didn't really dive into this, but I think it was a great point. I'm going to tell him how much I appreciated this analogy, and I'm probably going to use it a lot in the future. I think the perfect way to put into play what Ole Miss is doing on the recruiting front is they're building a boat, and if that boat has any holes in it, they're filling them with transfer portals. I think that's going to be the protocol moving forward for Pete Golding, because he's not going to live in the world of transfer portal to build a roster. He's going to live in the world of transfer portal to plug and play. And I know Jake was really spot on with that. And I just kind of wanted to see if you kind of along the same lines of me there, that it felt like to me that that was kind of what Pete Golding is doing. It kind of really encapsulated his recruiting philosophy.
Absolutely. And that's where it would hurt to not add DGG because of what you put into it. But like for Ole Miss, the legwork, the heavy lifting for its roster for next year should have been done, has been done, both in signing high school players, developing them, and then retaining them. So this year, rather than worry about, well, you see Jace Matthews, I want to know if little baby Andrew Maddox is going to make an impact at defensive tackle. You know what I mean? Like, I want to see guys like the four stars that were signed the year before and have now scouted and now have been developed for a year. Those are the ones that are going to impact winning more than any of those true freshmen coming in. So he's absolutely right, because if baby Maddox isn't ready to step in, well, they've got guys that can replace him, right? They've got Mike Arborio. They've got Jordan Renaud and like even Edwin Joseph at safety. If a guy like Ladarian Clardy, who developed last year and flashed, isn't ready to step in and play. Edwin Jones is going to play regardless. Those guys are going to play regardless. But you want them to be plug and play where you need them in comparison to guys that you signed, put a lot of recruiting sweat equity into, and the hard grunt work that nobody sees on those practice fields at the Manning Center to make them the player that should be contributing now, right? So I think that's absolutely right on. That's exactly what he's doing. I think that was the plan all along for Pete. I think Lane – was going in that direction before the results of 2024 happened. That's when that kind of changed the calculus. Like he went, well, then if his offense was the issue, then I'm going to go get as many offensive players. He didn't even really care all that much about high school guys. But so you saw it was very inequitable. Defensively, you're seeing William Echols and Cam Franklin emerge, while on the opposite side, who stepped up that wasn't from the portal, right? Like, yeah. Who's the next in line? Who's the guy that was Bryson Sanders that was signed as a four-star offensive lineman and developed and now is a starter? It's not the same on that side of the ball. I think there's more of a deliberate approach to make that more even on both sides. And if it's not like that, then Ole Miss has done something wrong, right? Like, they don't want to be replacing Kewon Lacy with the next Kewon Lacy out of the portal. They want to replace Kewon Lacy ideally with somebody they already have on the roster, either from a transfer portal perspective that had some long-term upside like a Mekhi Frazier, or guys that they developed themselves like Shekhi Mills-Knight. But if the answer needs to be at running back in the portal, they want to be able to have the luxury to make those choices. So that I think is a healthier way to build, especially in such a volatile climate that we're in now in college football. It's a more realistic way to build, and we'll see if it pays off with wins and losses, because Lane won a lot, right? Like, Pete still just got to win games. And I'm glad that Jake brought up the Louisville game.
Yeah.
It's time we really started thinking about how good Louisville is, We need to get Louisville beat writer on here. Brad's better at that. Like, go find us a Louisville somebody to talk about Louisville.
We will absolutely go deep into that game once we get out of SEC Media Days, which, by the way, lined up a number of interviews down there already. I've been texting and
give me a couple.
Messaging.
Who are we for sure getting?
Michael Bratton from SEC, that SEC podcast, excited to get him. Cole Kublik from the Mac and Cole, and Mac from Jocks 105.9. Jocks 94.5 in Birmingham. Brett Norsworthy of Sports 56 WHBQ, and there are many others, and I'm forgetting a couple that I've already messaged that that will be down there and that is excited to come on our show, and that just, you know, that means a lot. And you know, Ben, before we get out of here, I just want to say a couple of things. The chat has really been rolling about the LSU media guys. Matt Moscona, who works for, I forget the Louisiana. He's locked on LSU, and it's also another side. And I forget, and forgive me, I forget for the other outlet that Matt works for. Been on his show. He's been on mine. He got a lot of respect for Matt, like Matt. Same thing goes for Blake Ruffino for AYS. Blake and I go way back. But I've seen some clips specifically from Blake and talking about throwing hands and getting personal. I don't know if he's talking about people fighting Keith Carter or fighting players. To me, that's just ridiculous. I'm not even going to go there because that's not what this is about. This is about young men that have signed contracts. They signed contracts to play at Ole Miss. Ole Miss just wants their money back. That's all they want. And thank you, AFR. Thanks at J-Blogs at ESPN 104.5 down in Baton Rouge. Great job. I've got no problem with Matt and Blake. But I push back a little bit on the personal stuff. I mean, I don't understand that. When we're talking about signed contract, we're not talking about verbal agreements. We're not talking about gotcha. We're not talking about, you know, shaking the bus before it gets to campus. Any of that nefarious thing. We're strictly talking about paying money back. And I don't think that's too much to ask. And, you know, we'd ask Cody, and I think Jake really put it into perspective. And Hunt Palmer, I'll give Hunt a lot of credit. He's also part of the 104.5 radio team. He came out and he was very open that if you sign a contract, we've efforted him for the podcast, but if you know Hunt or whatever, that's we'd love to talk to him because I agree with what he said, that if you sign a contract, you should have to pay that money back. That's all Ole Miss is doing. And I asked Jake this, and Ben, you push back. That's why I love having a show with you. You and I have very different, you know, opinions about things. I think this helps Ole Miss in the court of public opinion about what all the crap that Ole Miss has been through with Lane using a racial card, LSU throwing Ole Miss, and that's what I think this is Ole Miss pushing back through the court of public opinion, and I get people may not see it that way. But I really appreciated what Keith did by talking and get that information getting out from Sam Hutchins, our friend on the program here from the Clarion Ledger, broke that news. And when it went nuts.
OwenSpirit.com that those buyouts hadn't been paid. We posted that.
You did. There was a lot of pushback, Ben.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So to be fair, Chuck Roundsville posted that on the Spirit. There was pushback, but it ended up being Chuck
wrong. Chuck said initially that he was mistaken from what he got told. And we clarified the reporting, right, and mentioned that like the buyout for Lane has been paid, but the buyouts for the players have not been paid. And now the reporting has been extended out through Sam. Chase Parham too, done a great job of fleshing it out even more. And you're seeing more of a public response to this. And it's not like it has nothing to do with the rivalry that, however you classify it, between Ole Miss and LSU. It's purely a bookkeeping thing, and the only line, one of the few, if any, only potentially lines of demarcation left, that if it's crossed, there's very little, if anything, to protect any school. That means that the contract that you re-sign those kids to, aren't held to them, right? Brandon Ayuk isn't playing for a reason. Dudes that sign contracts can't get out of a non-compete. It happens to all of us. You could argue their constitutionality, and I would agree with you. Non-competes are nonsense. But having said that, they're there for a reason. They're there for a protection of the corporation themselves. And all these teams are not schools and student-athletes. They're corporations and employees that aren't called employees yet until the people in the room they're supposed to fix this stuff actually fix it and collectively bargain with the labor force. All right? So in that way, if it was just that kind of an argument, and take all the rivalry and the school crap out of it, if it was just strictly about contract language and protection and all those kind of things. If it was just on everyone on the merits would agree that Ole Miss should be paid the money it's owed. But you've brought in all this other stuff. Like, I saw the thing from Blake, and I don't know Blake and Matt Moscona from Adam. Like, Brad knows him, and he's got respect. I don't have anything for him one way or another. I don't disrespect him. I don't necessarily respect him. I don't know him, only from the things I see. And this thing today from Blake Ruffino was pathetic, whatever it was. And I want to think that we took it completely out of context because it's a clip on social media, but they're the ones that tweeted it out, and he's talking about throwing hands and this, that, and the other. It ain't that serious. If you wanted to get that kind of serious about it, like, there were other things to save that energy for, I think. This isn't one of them. But yet, y'all want to keep bringing that energy to it and then talk about the toxicity of the rivalry. Y'all are the one that are doing that. Y'all are the ones that are feeding into that by turning an issue that should be, as Jake Crane said, bipartisan, into something partisan. And that's why nothing can get done, because everybody's afraid of everybody else. At JVlogs 8963, Ben, if you don't mind, what are your thoughts on Frank Wilson? I think the world of Frank Wilson, I remember him most back when I first started doing this, is the guy that guaranteed Joe McKnight, and he wasn't able to deliver. God rest Joe McKnight's soul, but he's always been a dynamic recruiter. I don't buy it as much in terms of others that say, like, he's like some Louisiana – he is a Louisiana legend, make no mistake, in high school football, but that's going to be what determines – like, Ole Miss is all of a sudden going to have a bigger foothold in Louisiana, a much more significant foothold in Louisiana because of Frank. I hadn't seen that, and I just don't think there's a lot of validity to that. Now, they've got two guys committed from Louisiana, one of which is wanted by a lot other than just Ole Miss and Miguel Whitley, a four-star. But you haven't seen that clink, because I just don't think – I think that stuff's kind of overblown. LSU, Louisiana kids go to LSU if they're – you know, for the most part. So until he gets one of those big swings like that, like JT Lindsey was a layup for him. Miguel Whitley wasn't a layup, but, like, he's one of – and you would hope that he would get more of that. Great running backs coach. He does all of the things you want. Well, a good running backs coach, but is like, Ole Miss going to – suddenly become like the thorn in LSU side for Louisiana kids because of Frank? I'll see it. I'll believe it when I see it, you know, like I'll believe it when I see it. Tons of respect for Frank, but just like, it's okay to acknowledge the reality. And over the course of my 20 years doing this, for the most part, Louisiana kids go to LSU. It's one of the benefits of being the only school in town, the only game in town. And I know ULL and Tulane, but no, Ole Miss is continuing with another SEC school plus a group of five school in Southern Miss that used to be competitive, you know, early in the 2000s, right? LSU is the one-stop shop, and that's an advantage they've been, you know, to their credit, been able to tap into and keep consistent for the longest, while Ole Miss has had a battle to keep Mississippi kids in its borders. That's why Ole Miss holding on to four of the top five in Mississippi this year is impressive. And if they get Cade Moss, that'll be five of six if you factor in Ty Keys. Think the world of Frank Wilson. But I think a lot of that reputation is more for online shit-talking than in actuality and practice, if that makes sense.
And Dakota, thank you very much. I think what Dakota was saying is, just like you pointed out, Ben, maybe that clip was in reference to something else, talking about maybe making an analogy of someone hit on your wife, you better be ready to throw hands or whatever.
And I'm not – because I don't want to make it – because people still think I called Lane a hoe when they're missing the broader
point. That's not – you didn't. I mean, you simply – yeah.
No, that's what I'm saying. But, like, people always say, well, he's the hoe guy. I don't want Blake to be – I don't know Blake, but, like, I've experienced that. Like, you ain't the throw hands guy. Well, I would love to know what the broader point was. But
yeah, I'm sure it was.
Off the cuff, it looks bad, it sounds bad, and especially – against the backdrop of what this issue
and the AYS account reposted it, so
they were kind of standing
on business, you know what I mean? So
you wanted anyway,
like I said, that's just kind of where it is, and that's where we're at with this. So it's just more leading into SEC Media Day. We know that Wednesday and Thursday are going to be a zoo,
yep,
because Thursday is Lane and Wednesday is Pete, and we'll have wall to wall coverage of everything from the SEC Media Days down in Tampa. Jake will be there. Zach will be there. I'll be there. Grabbing interviews. Manning the ship, though. Steering the ship.
And I love that. I love being the man in the chair like Ned Leeds and Spider-Man. But, man, you know me. I want to be there with you. Like last year, we had a table set up. We had talked to Mark Henry. It was amazing. This year, I don't think we're doing the table, but Brad is the best on-the-scene person I've ever known in this game, and I want you to see if we can get Trinidad for a couple minutes. We want Kiwan for a couple of minutes. They're going to have time. That's the thing. Like, Brad sometimes doesn't like to step on any toes. I like to go, hey, can I talk to you for 2 minutes? And if it's Paul Feinbaum, if it's Lane, TJ Bull Daughtery. Well, I had some people in the Ole Miss Spirit, OleMissSpirit.com, 513, like, we don't need to hear from Bull anymore. We're good. Which, noted, if y'all don't want any LSU people, even want Lane, we won't even try. Whatever y'all want, we're going to give it a shot and try to give you the best coverage of media days a podcast can provide as a car goes behind Brad on the golf course that he sits in. This has been Talk of Champions. I'm Ben Garrett at Spirit. Been on Twitter. He's Brad Logan at Brad Logan TOC. Sign up at the Ole Miss Spirit, OMSpirit.com, a foot of on three. $1 to get you that full access to the Ole Miss Spirit before switching over to an annual sub. So many of you responded, and we're so thankful. Keep coming in and joining us. That's how you can help me and Brad and Zach the most, man. Join us at the Ole Miss Spirit. Our thanks to Jake Crane, all of y'all in the chat. My guy Sawyer Wheatley, he's absolutely right, Brad. Shoot or shoot. You miss 100% of the shots you don't take. So I want you shooting for, if Kirby wants to come on for 2 minutes, sure. Hustle, baby. You're going to be down there. If you get to be down there and I got to be in the chair, I want to see you doing that thing. But for now, just get off that golf course. Be safe going home, and we'll catch you tomorrow, Friday.
We'll talk to everybody very soon. Real quick, Ben, we've got multiple sponsors that are going to be sponsoring our content from down in Tampa. We'll pass those along to you. With all of our sponsors, you've seen our advertisements. You've seen us talk about them. Please go by and see them, patronize with them, and tell them how much you appreciate it, because we could not do what we do without our sponsors. Thanks, everybody.
He's the best. Go be on the scene, man. I want